Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column at Real Clear Politics about the Sinai, not just the landscape itself, but the proposal, or at least several proposals, that the Sinai is most logical for the people of Gaza, who live in a landscape that is not only wrecked by the war, but also undercut by unexploded ordnance, by tunnels of unknown origin filled with ammunition or worse, an environment that is toxic, dangerous permanently. In addition, it's not a sustainable landscape. There is no way to feed itself except for if it's fed from the outside. So what is to be done? Peter, a very good evening to you. Call it the Sinai option. What does it look like?
Well, in simple terms, it would mean extending Gaza's border, its southwest border, with Egypt, 10 to 15 miles into the Sinai Peninsula. The Sinai Peninsula is massive. There are very few people there. The area that we're talking about next to the Gaza border is virtually unhabited because the Egyptian army is camped there. So you don't make the Gazans citizens of Egypt. Egypt doesn't want that. You just make Gaza longer, which gives the Gazans an opportunity to spread out. The international community will build temporary dwellings and apartment buildings, desalination centers, and so on. And by the way, this proposal, much less traumatic than President Trump's, but in a way in the same spirit, does not involve forced transfer of the population. Everything's voluntary. Gaza now extends 10 miles into the Sinai Peninsula. As buildings are built, you provide buses and you provide keys to new apartment buildings, and you offer the Palestinians opportunity to get on the bus, drive 10 or 15 minutes, and start a new life in a new apartment building in an area that is now, at least, let's say, for 75 years, Gaza.
The president has proposed this same concept, but he's put it in a metaphorical sense because he has a natural salesman in him, of the Riviera of the Mediterranean. What does he mean by that? What is he imagining? And, of course, that sounds extremely attractive. Why would they reject it?
Yes. Well, first what the president's imagining, then why they not only would reject it, they have emphatically rejected it. So the president, as you said, John, is responding to the reality. The UN estimates that right now there are approximately 45,000 tons of rubble in Gaza. It could take 10 to 15 years to clear all that. The president's idea was if the Gazans could be moved, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, which is enormous and has enormous amounts of empty space, they could be moved there. Then crews could come in, clean up Gaza, and then build on Gaza's beaches, some magnificent Mediterranean beaches, miles and miles of beautiful hotels and cities, and these would then serve as hubs for tourism, as commercial centers, as opportunities for the population. Why won't this happen? For a number of reasons. One reason is no Arab country in the Middle East wants to take in Palestinians. As you know, John, Europe has taken in something like 6 million Ukrainian refugees since 2022. The Middle East, from Morocco in the west to Iraq in the east, has taken in By contrast, about 100,000, 6 million versus 100,000. Why? Because the Arab countries have long memories. They remember that Palestinians brought instability to Jordan in the 60s and the 70s, to Lebanon in the 70s and 80s, to Kuwait in the early 90s. They don't want that. They also know that Hamas, which remains a very powerful force, sensibility among the Palestinians, is the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Egyptians have outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood. King Abdullah II in Jordan fears the Muslim Brotherhood in his own country. So they have lots of reasons, but primarily traceable to their concerns about their own stability, for not wanting to absorb hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, which is what President Trump's plan calls for.
I want to press you on the Egyptian response. President El-Sisi and his government are extremely brittle, extremely brittle. The poverty, the growth of the population, there are more than 120 million people in Egypt.
Yes.
The water is said to be inadequate these days. There's much concern about the Nile. They need a great deal of attention from the outside to maintain themselves at all. It occurs to me what we're dealing with is a population that is easily in a position to absorb 1.5 million Gazans, and with it would come support, lots of support, which is what Egypt needs. So it doesn't follow that they would reject this out of hand. You say that nobody wants to deal with the Palestinians. They nominally look in better shape than the Egyptians do right now. The economy is plunging.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I agree in part and dissent in part. I agree that the United States has an opportunity because Sisi's regime is desperately in need of financial support. It cannot provide for 120 million people. Its foundations are fragile, but I think Sisi will reason any acceptance of any significant acceptance of Palestinians actually threatens greater stability. Therefore, my much more modest proposal, but which accomplishes something very similar. The president's proposal calls it's not fleshed out, but it seems to imply that the Palestinians will become refugees in Egypt. What I'm suggesting is that the Palestinians of Gaza become residents of an extended part of Gaza, which is in Sinai. You could say the difference is semantic. I think it's a little more than that. I certainly think there's a family resemblance in my suggestion, but I believe the virtue of my suggestion is that you can assure the Egyptians these people do not become citizens. There's still a border and a fence around them. They only go 10 or 15 miles closer to Cairo. The Egyptian army still guarding the border. And similarly, as you're suggesting, John, we, the United States, Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, provide very generous financial inducements, which Sisi is desperately in need of, to persuade him to lease this part of the Sinai Peninsula, part of Egypt, to the Gazans for 75 years.
I want to press the geography here. Rafah, which is the crossing at the southern part of Gaza, is a village. Half of it is in Gaza. Half of it is in Egypt right now, just across the Sinai. That would be an easy anchor for this to happen. It's such a practical idea. Has it ever been discussed in Cairo? Did anybody ever present this to Cairo?
Well, now I can't resist telling an old joke about this, that 40 years ago, just after the peace treaty was signed between Egypt and Israel, according to this old joke, when Israel gave back the Sinai, but not Gaza, Menachem Begin calls up Anwar Sadat and says, "Anwar, we got a great idea here in Israel. In addition to having returned the Sinai to you, we want to give you Gaza as well." Silence on the other end of the line. Finally, Sadat replies coldly, "I see. You'll give us Gaza. But if we take Gaza, what will you give us in return?" In other words, the Egyptians have never wanted Gaza. They have never shown real sympathy for the people of Gaza. And the more powerful Hamas has become, the more they're opposed to doing anything for the Gazans. Because, again, Hamas is the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is Sisi, President Sisi's sworn enemy. So I don't know what's going on behind closed doors in Egypt over the last 40 years, but all the indications are that the Egyptians have regarded the idea of deeding 1 inch of Gaza to deeding 1 inch of the Sinai to the Gazans as anathema. But the beauty maybe of President Trump's suggestion is that it's so out of the box that it makes what used to seem out of the box appear reasonable.
I'm speaking with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. We're talking about what is to be done with 1.5 million Palestinians who are dishomed, and their prospects are as grim now as they were before the war. When we come back, the Muslim Brothers, who are they? Why is it that we're always dealing with their threat in not just Egypt, but in Jordan, in Lebanon, in the Middle East, in Turkey, the Muslim Brothers? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.